Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
News. They make it seem like they're police at the borders of Chicago keeping ICE agents out. And that's simply not the case. Republicans want every town, city, state to dedicate their limited resources to entering what's called a 287G agreement with ICE to either do their enforcement work on the ground or hold people in custody for an additional 48 hours on detainers. That's 48 hours beyond the lawful detention. To be clear, that is illegal. In more than 700 counties in at least 9 states, there are policies or court decisions limiting these ICE detainers as it is such a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment. And when people's Fourth Amendment rights are violated, it's the cities, not ICE, who face civil lawsuits. As a reminder to Republicans, the Fourth Amendment is the one against unlawful searches and seizures. Just last year, New York City's Department of Corrections had to pay $92.5 million in a settlement to those they unlawfully detained for ICE. Republicans are putting these mayors between a rock and a hard place. And the reason that they're doing this is because Trump is trying to get them to do illegal things. If they work for ICE, they risk violating their own residents' constitutional rights and opening themselves up to costly litigation. But if they don't do Trump's bidding, they're being threatened with losing federal funding. Today's hearing is nothing more than a shakedown against the mayors of some of our nation's biggest cities and a part of Trump's ongoing anti-city crusade. In Trump's America, if you disagree with his priorities, then you lose federal dollars. Just last week, Donald Trump actually called city leaders who oppose his cruel policies sick politicians. Just a few days before that, his border czar, Tom Homan, threatened that he would be bringing hell on the city of Boston. Mayor Wu, what do you think about these threats against Boston and their attempts to force you to enact policies that are against the very things your constituents voted for?
The laws are most important and the safety of our residents are most important. And what I hear from all of our residents across every one of our neighborhoods is that, in fact, undermining the trust is what would make our city less safe. And so we need everyone to feel secure in their communities, like they can reach out, they can call 911 when they need help. And in our city, those laws actually help Boston police solve crimes.
Thank you. Mr. Beer, question for you. I'd always thought that my Republican colleagues were strong supporters of state and local sovereignty and were against intrusion from the federal government. Do you think this lawsuit seems consistent with that position?
Oh, absolutely not. If you look at the Supreme Court precedent on this, it came from a gun control law that said that state and local governments had to cooperate with the federal government on gun control. The Supreme Court said that's unconstitutional. Not a single member on this side, I believe, would be against that Supreme Court decision.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing illegal about protecting people's constitutional rights and due process, education, and equal treatment under the law. But it is illegal for the federal government to withhold federal dollars that these cities' taxpayer dollars have gone towards. Mayor Johnson, Chicago ranks as one of the largest cities in the U.S. and has the third largest metropolitan economy, boasting a GDP of $860 million. This makes it one of the most economically diverse cities in the nation, correct?
That is correct.
Would it be fair to say that your city generates billions in taxpayer revenue and that the average taxpayer in Chicago and Illinois contributes more than around $20,000 in federal income taxes, which is more than $1,310 above the national average?
That is absolutely correct.
So can we conclude that Chicago residents pay significantly more in taxes than they receive in return, contributing at least $5 in taxes for every $1 they get back in federal support?
More than our fair share.
Thank you. Only 9 states have taxpayers that contribute more to the federal government than they receive. All 4 of our mayors are from states on that list. Yet Republicans are saying that they should lose that money because they don't agree with their dear leader. Trump and Republicans are attempting to take money from blue cities and blue states and give them to their red states. Republicans too often demonize blue areas and cities that are the very areas that are keeping the economy going. The attacks we've heard on mayors today are not only shameful, they're dangerous capitulations to the impulses of this president who is trying to expand executive power in nearly every direction. I'd like to thank our mayors, Wu, Johnson, and Johnston for coming in today, having the strength of courage to stand up to this administration. Thank you. I yield back.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Biggs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, Mayor Adams, you've agreed today. Sorry, over here. You've agreed to, today that New York City is a sanctuary city. Is that right?
Based on the definition, and there doesn't seem, Congressman, but there's now a uniform definition of that, but yes.
Right, but that's what you've proclaimed. Mayor Johnston, you've previously also declared that you're a sanctuary city. Mayor Johnson, you said that Chicago must lead with and live by the promise to be a sanctuary city. Mayor Wu, you said Boston police and other departments cannot cooperate with ICE when it comes to detaining on civil warrants. Of course, I don't know what Mayor Johnston would define it, but I do know that the Honorable Mayor Johnson from Chicago, they call theirs a welcoming city ordinance, and we've got Ms. Wu, Mayor Wu, who's referred to hers as a safe city. That's really interesting to me. So when you are a sanctuary city, you put limits on how much you're willing to cooperate with federal agencies' efforts to remove illegal aliens. And your policies are then contravene federal law. You just do. Under Title 8 of the U.S. Code, it says a federal, state, or local government entity or official may not prohibit or in any way restrict any government entity or official from sending to or receiving from the Immigration Naturalization Service information regarding the citizenship or immigration status of any individual. Yeah, so when I look at your guys' ordinances, and I got them all up here, and they're really interesting stuff, and Denver, I think you testified previously that you rely on the statutory section, am I right, of the state statute. So let's just review this. There is a distinction, and some of you have made that. Mayor Johnson of Chicago made this repeatedly, and Mayor Wu of Boston did. There's a distinction between criminal warrant, and you say we cooperate on criminal warrant, but there's two levels of cooperation at least. There's a communication level, and there's a passing the person off. That's one level of the criminal. But the civil level, this is what I want to talk about for a second, because all of these ordinances proscribe communication and transfer of someone where there's a civil warrant. Now, I know that all of you understand that a removal order is a civil order. And that means none of you and none of your agencies within your municipalities are communicating or passing over someone where there's a ICE removal detainer. So I don't care how many times, 1,226 or whatever it was in 7 years, I don't care how many times you do it, but if you're not doing it for civil orders, then you're allowing people who have a removal order who've had due process, because that's how you get a removal order. You're allowing them to stay in the country. You're in violation of this law right here. You are. You're in violation of that law right there. And you've got to start realizing what your criminal culpability is on that, and that's really what we're talking about here. So you don't think that's harboring, perhaps, but let's take a look at that next statute, please. That next federal statute. In conducting investigations and hearings, immigration officers and administrative law judges shall have reasonable access to examine evidence of any person or entity being investigated. If you're holding someone back, even if it's under a civil warrant, because that's what you said you're not going to participate in, and you are preventing access to that person or evidence, you're in violation of this. You have criminal culpability under this. And you'll notice there's no mens rea requirement here. This is it. Every one of you is exposed to criminal culpability here. That's the reality of it. Let's do the next one. Any person who knowing that a person is an alien, knowing or in reckless disregard, now you got a culpable mental state here, of the fact that an alien has come to, entered, or remains in the United States in violation of law, conceals, harbors, or shields from detection, or attempts to conceal, harbor, or shield from detection such alien in any place. You'll notice it doesn't make a distinction that all of y'all want to make. of criminal warrants versus civil. You're all in violation of all three of these statutes. You got criminal culpability. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Chair recognizes Ms. Randall from Washington State.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to our witnesses for taking the time to be here today. You know, I represent the northwest corner of the country, though I did happily live in Boston for 10 years safely. And Washington State is proudly home to more than 1 million immigrants. We know in Washington that our communities, like yours, are stronger because of immigrants. We are fed because of immigrants. We're able to take public transportation because of the work of immigrants. We are able to work on building the affordable housing that we need because of immigrants. We receive quality health care because of immigrants. But this administration, as we see over and over and over, is more concerned with deporting families than supporting families. Their actions are rooted in hatred and fear and deliberate misunderstanding. They say they want to lower costs, but what their actions show us is the opposite. Immigrants drive our economy, and this administration's mass deportations have disrupted small businesses, wreaked havoc on our communities, all while families see their grocery bills continue to rise and worry about their health care being ripped away. My constituents are scared. They're writing to us that they're afraid to go out in public, send their kids to school, go to the grocery store without two other members of their family or their neighbors with them. There are dozens of families making emergency plans to make sure someone is legally designated to take care of their children if they are detained or deported. And in fact, our governor had to create additional policy to ensure that kids are not left alone when their parents disappear. We've heard from beet farmers and wheat growers and florists, Christmas tree farms, grocers, and salal harvesters that their businesses cannot continue without the support of immigrants. We know that there is a huge economic impact to our families and our communities. And Mayor Adams, per your testimony in 2021 on immigrant New Yorkers, you stated that including those who are undocumented, immigrants in New York paid billions of dollars in taxes and contributed billions more in spending power to the New York economy. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. So one can imagine if this administration continues its mass deportation plans in cities across the country, including New York, it would have a significant impact on all our economies. Mr. Beyer, can you speak to what the economic impacts of mass deportation would mean for the U.S. economy?
Absolutely. It would be devastating. You're looking at an instant recession if it was, you know, some magic wand you could wave to get rid of all these people like they want. That would be about a 7% drop in GDP. That's well into the trillions of dollars in lost production of goods and services that benefit Americans. And when you really think about it, when it comes to the cities, right, it's not equally distributed across the country. It's really these cities and some others that are going to be overwhelmingly impacted. So those neighborhoods, you're looking at a death spiral of economic activity when you remove so much of the population. And yet, of course, we talk about just the people who are undocumented, but their children, their spouses, all those people are going to be affected by mass deportation.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Chair, with unanimous consent, I'd like to enter this New York Times article, Frustration Grows Inside the White House Over Pace of Deportation.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you so much. And, you know, this committee has been very interested in uncovering waste, fraud, and abuse. And I'd like to draw our attention to the ASMR deportation flight that the administration touted on their official social media channels. While previous flights, deportation flights, cost for about 10.5 hours, $47,000, this military flight that was commandeered from its mission of national security to take folks who were in in detention centers already to a stopover in Guantanamo cost us $299,250 for the same flight. My folks in my community who are stationed at Joint Base Lewis-McChord are being diverted from their essential missions to go to Guantanamo to be layover stewardesses for this this plan that's just for clicks. It's just to continue stir up media. It's just to deliver on a promise that the president made and that he's worried that he will be accused of letting his base down if he doesn't carry out. Thank you.
Chair recognizes Ms. Mace from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of the mayors here today are actively working to harm the American people you represent. You all have blood on your hands. I'm going to ask a series of yes or no questions today, and I would like to remind all of you, you are under oath. I only want a yes or a no to my questions. My first question, do you acknowledge breaking into our country is a crime? Mayor Adams, yes or no? Do you acknowledge breaking into our country is a crime?
I acknowledge.
Yes or no?
I acknowledge.
Okay, Honorable Johnson, he's not going to answer the question. Yes or no? Is breaking into our country against the law? Yes
depends
or no?
Depends how you cross the border.
Okay, Mayor Johnson, status. Yes or no?
Comprehensive immigration reform policies are what's necessary
Mayor,
in this
Wu,
moment.
Do you have a better answer than these gentlemen before you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, do you believe it's acceptable for illegals who commit heinous crimes be released back into the public instead of being detained and deported? Mayor Adams, yes or no?
Anyone break a crime?
Yes or no? This is not hard. Yes or no?
Anyone that break a crime should be detained.
Okay, Mayor, yes or no?
They should be deported.
Okay, Mayor.
Any individual that
yes or
causes
no.
harm
yes or no.
breaks
okay,
the law
Mayor Wu?
Should be held accountable.
This is why you have 6% approval rating, because you suck at answering questions. Mayor Wu, yes
anyone,
or no?
Anyone who's a public safety threat should be prosecuted.
All right, I have my next question. When an illegal alien rapes a woman, do you believe you're on the right side of history? Mayor Adams, yes or no?
Say that question
again. Okay, Mayor Johnston. When a legal alien rapes a woman, do you believe you're on the right side of history? Yes or no?
I will charge and prosecute them.
Yes or no? Okay. Well, okay. You said you would go to jail, didn't you?
I will charge
for harboring illegal aliens or something, Mayor Johnson.
Could you repeat your question, please?
When an illegal alien rapes a woman, do you believe you're on the right side of history?
Could you clarify that question?
Okay, Mayor Wu, yes or no?
No, rape is obviously horrible.
Why are you letting rapists back out onto the streets of Boston?
That is not true. That okay. is not what's happening
when
in Boston.
When an illegal alien molests a kid... Molest an underage kid. Do you pat yourself on the back for being compassionate? Mayor Adams?
It's despicable and he should be arrested.
Mayor Johnson?
I prosecute folks that commit crimes like that.
You guys let him out on the streets. Mayor Johnson?
We arrest violent criminals in the city of Chicago.
Mayor Wu?
We investigate arrests and prosecute.
You guys don't sound very confident today. Would your city honor an ICE detainer on an illegal alien who rapes kids if one was issued today? Mayor Adams, yes or no?
In conformance with law, we will honor detainers.
Mayor Johnson?
If there's a criminal warrant, we'll help them pick them up. If there's no criminal warrant, we'll honor a notification request.
Mayor Johnson?
Criminal warrants, we always cooperate with federal agents with a criminal warrant.
Mayor Wu?
Get a criminal warrant, we will enforce.
A criminal warrant. I'm talking about an ICE detainer on an individual who's here illegal who rapes kids. Do you all hate Donald Trump more than you love your country, Mayor Adams?
I respect my president. I respect my
yes
country.
Yes or no? You're having the hardest time today.
Senate.
Mayor Johnston?
I love my country.
Yes or no?
I love my country.
Okay. Mayor Johnson?
As the son of a pastor, I love everyone and this country.
Mayor Wu?
I love my country and my city.
Do you all... Are you all willing to go to jail for violating federal law, Mayor Adams?
I'm not going to violate federal law, so I don't have to worry about that.
Mayor Johnston?
We don't violate federal law either.
You don't violate federal law?
We do not violate federal
law. Is it violating federal law if you don't honor detainer requests from ICE?
Absolutely not. In fact, the statute Congressman Biggs shared, we explicitly follow. The statute says you cannot prohibit city employees from sharing information about someone's status with the government. We do not prohibit that.
Do you love illegal aliens more than you love your fellow countrymen?
I love all the residents of the city and county.
Mayor Johnston, Are you willing to go to jail for violating federal law?
The city of Chicago complies with all laws.
Oh, I highly doubt that. Mayor Wu?
We are not violating federal law.
Mayor Wu, I have a last couple questions for you. Do you believe that ICE arresting a child rapist, quote, threatens everyone's safety, end quote? Yes or no?
No.
Does ICE arresting a murderous MS-13 gang member threaten everyone's safety? Yes or no?
No.
I would like to hold up this quote of you where you say ICE's efforts actually threaten the safety of everyone, end quote, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu. You're a hypocrite. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I yield back.
Chair recognizes
Mr. Chairman, I have unanimous consent request. Mr. Chairman, I have unanimous consent request.
Proceed.
I'd like to seek unanimous consent to enter into the record this article, and I'll do this as a survivor of sexual violence myself. This is from Courts, March 2018.
Without objection, so ordered.
Data from Texas shows that U.S.-born...
Without objection, so ordered. We've put it in the record.
I haven't entered it.
You have what?
Mr. Chair, can I have several articles. So I need to enter them. Let me just go ahead with the... What the articles are, what they speak
to. What's the next article?
Let me proceed. Data from Texas shows that U.S.-born Americans commit more rape and murder than immigrants.
Listen, this trend of you all trying to get thrown out of committee so you can get on MSNBC is going to end. We're not going to put up with it.
This is my procedural right as a member of this committee.
You can go. You can go with Mr. Frost and Mr. Green.
I'm reclaiming my time.
That's what you want. No, no, Ms. Presley. I've been very. I have been very accommodating to you, Mr. Subramanian.
And I take particular. Umbridge as a survivor of sexual violence.
Go.
I will enter
order.
Into the record. This is my right. Thank you.
No. It is Mr. Subramanian.
Mr. Chair.
No, you know the process of unanimous consent. You are not
I
recognized.
I have several articles to enter into the record.
Mr. Subramanian, if you don't go, we're going to recognize Mr. Timmons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to bring up a bill that's going to be before the floor, H.R. 32, a bill that would basically take away federal grants if the administration thinks you are a, quote, sanctuary city, which, by the way, isn't even very well defined. I'm not even sure from reading the bill whether your cities are even sanctuary cities to begin with. I think that's why that question may have been difficult for you to answer. I think what's been very interesting to hear is how well you've been able to integrate and welcome immigrants into your communities, into your city's economies, and making the best out of a difficult situation. I find that very impressive. But I wonder to the mayors here, Mr. Johnston, if you took away federal grants, how would that affect public safety of your city? Would that improve? Would that make your city more safe or less safe if we took away federal grants from your city?
It would dramatically weaken public safety. I mean, we wouldn't be able to repair bridges that are falling apart. It means we wouldn't be able to put kids in preschool or give veterans medical care. It would be catastrophic.
Thank you. Mr. Johnston, the same question. Mayor Johnston, the same question.
It would certainly undermine all of the investments that we've made thus far since I've been mayor. We've provided $20 billion of new investments that contribute to the overall safety of the city of Chicago.
Mayor Wu, same question. Would this make your city of Boston more safe or less safe?
Withdrawing federal funds would make us less safe. Education makes us more safe. Housing makes us more safe, and we rely on those funds.
And how did, let's take Mayor Johnston, how did many of the immigrants come to your city? You mentioned they came from Texas, is that right?
That's correct, Congressman. They came on buses sent from Texas, mostly from El Paso.
I feel like we have the wrong people in the room today. We have mayors of cities that are trying to do their best with the situation that they have. And then we have governors in Texas and Florida who are busing folks up to your cities. And so you're trying to make the best out of this situation. But somehow they're trying to make our immigration system worse, in essence, because they're taking the folks that come over to their states and they're spreading them across the country, and you're just trying to deal with that situation. Would you characterize it as that, Mayor Johnston?
Yes, sir. We're just trying to manage the crisis in front of us, which is families being dropped off on our city streets in the winter with no clothes. Our calling is to make sure they're safe.
And how would the Trump administration's funding freezes and cuts, would they undermine public safety in your city, Mayor Johnson?
They could dramatically undermine public safety in our city. Everything
Mayor,
again.
Mayor Johnson, same question.
It certainly will undermine community safety if the federal government undermines the investments in people of Chicago.
It would undermine our safety, too.
So we're trying to make your cities more safe, but there's a bill here in the name of making your cities more safe actually makes your cities less safe. Would you agree with that, Mayor Johnson?
Yes, sir, I would.
Mayor Johnson, same question. Mayor Wu,
yes.
Same question. And I think this bill is actually, in a way, extortion, because you're basically trying to take away funding from a city if they don't do what the administration wants you to do. But, you know, let's talk about extortion for a minute. Mayor Adams, I think everyone's a little bit concerned about the timeline of events that has led to your case being dropped. And so, Mayor Adams, did you meet with Tom Homan on December 12th of last year?
Oh, yes, I did.
Did President Trump say publicly that he considered pardoning you 4 days after that meeting? Yes or no?
I don't recall what the president said in regards to that meeting.
Well, he did. In January, did you meet with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago? Yes or no?
Yes, I did.
In this meeting, did you talk about immigration enforcement with the president?
Talk about immigration in general.
What was that? What did you talk about when it comes to immigration?
Just how important it is to secure the border, and they were able to do so. We saw a 90% decrease, and I see that on my streets every day.
Did you talk about your pending case with the DOJ?
No, I did not.
So the case did not come out. Have you ever talked about your case with the DOJ with the president?
No more than what you heard him on the trail say that he thought it was in.
I haven't heard much. Tell me, have you ever talked about the president and talked about your case in the DOJ with the president?
Yeah, as I indicated previously, I'm going to say it again. This case is in front of Judge Ho, and out of deference to him.
Have you ever talked about your case with anyone in the Trump administration?
I'm going to say this again. This case is in front of Judge Ho, and out of deference to Judge Ho, he is going to determine the outcome of this case.
That's not answering the question. I'm going to ask you one more time. Have you ever talked about this case with anyone in the Trump administration?
This case is in front of Judge Ho, and out of deference to Judge Ho is going to decide the outcome of this case.
I think Mayor Adams is not answering the question, because he probably has. And I think there's a pretty clear timeline here that indicates that a case is being dropped in the name of trying to appease the president, who seems to be okay with what's going on. And so, we can talk about the policy, but I think there's a bigger problem here of public extortion and almost an endorsement of this extortion. And it's becoming the norm for this administration. I yield back.
Chair recognized Mr. Timmons from South Carolina.
Mr. Chairman, before you do, I have a unanimous consent request, please.
Ms. Spangler, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have four articles I would like to enter into the record titled The Mythical Tie Between Immigration and Crime, Undocumented Immigrants Half as Likely to Be Arrested for Violent Crimes, Immigrants Significantly Less Likely to Commit Crimes, and one titled Showing Data About U.S.-Born Citizens More Likely to Commit Murder. And, Mr. Chairman, I do ask that you do respect my colleagues on this side of the aisle, parliamentary
without objection, so ordered, your unanimous consent, sir. Put into the record, and only titles are required. And once you start filibustering, you become out of order.
I am not filibustering.
I'm just saying the last member on your side was filibustering.
She was not. She had.
Yes, she was.
And now you're filibustering.
Chair recognizes Mr. Timmons from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to speak directly to all four of the mayors. Y'all did the best you could with bad situations. You did. The former president let in, I don't even know what number to use. Some places use 8 million, some people use 16, 20, whatever the number is. And so each of you had an influx of illegal immigrants into your cities, and you have federal, state, and local statutes that you have to deal with, and an untenable situation was created. I want to go one by one. Mayor Adams, how many illegal immigrants were present in New York City in the last 4 years? How many people did you have to deal with?
230,000.
All right, so, and that's 230,000 people that were using your limited resources that American citizens are entitled to, but you were actually required under local ordinance or under state law to provide services to them. They're not supposed to be here. They're not supposed to be here because we have borders. Borders are supposed to matter. Mayor Johnston, how many illegal immigrants did you have to deal with over the last 4 years?
Thank you, sir. We had 42,000 newcomers arrive over
42,000? Mayor Johnston, how many illegal immigrants did you have to deal with over the last 4 years?
Over the last 4 years, there were roughly 50,000 asylum seekers bused from the state of Texas to the city of Chicago.
And you know why that Texas did that? Because 10, 12, 15 million people were in Texas, and they had to deal with the same problem you did, and they thought it was appropriate that everyone should have to share this burden. Mayor Wu, how many did Boston have over the last 4 years?
We don't ask about immigration status and giving how many services, people that, so I don't have that number.
Okay, well, we'll say at least tens of thousands. So all of you have limited resources, limited tax dollars to spend to serve your community. And there's people that have a disproportionate need, and you have obligations to serve them more if they are struggling, if they do not have income, if they are jobless. So you have limited resources, and all of you had this problem. And we've been saying for the last 4 years that this is all because Joe Biden and his policies were allowing lawlessness at our southern border, which allowed millions of people into this country. Mayor Johnston, did you say anything to the Biden administration? Did you say, we're struggling, we can't make ends meet, we can't serve our citizens because of your open southern border? Did you, Mayor Johnston?
Yes, Congressman, I did reach out to the Biden administration about that.
Did you publicly address this? Did you ever challenge them and say, this is ridiculous, secure the southern border?
What we focused on, sir, was the biggest challenge we were facing was folks needed the right to work.
I couldn't find anything where you told the Biden administration they are wrong for their border policy. Mayor Johnston, did you publicly attack the president, President Biden, in the last 4 years because he let millions of people into this country and it hurt your constituents? Did you publicly attack him for his policies?
So I publicly called
for... Did you say secure the damn border? No, you didn't.
I publicly called for Congress to pass comprehensive immigration
reform. Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
And that did not happen.
Did you ever publicly attack the open border policies of the previous administration?
Congressman, in fact, we hosted the former Secretary of DHS in Boston so that he could see the impact.
To talk about how we need legislation, I'm sure. Mayor Adams, did you ever publicly attack President Biden for his open border policy?
Yes, in addition to having $7 billion out of our tax base.
Did you see what his administration did to political opponents? Did you see what they did to President Trump? I mean, I guess you're standing up for your people. I admire that. For the last 4 years, I heard how Congress needed to spend tens of billions of dollars to secure the southern border. We had to change policies. We had to do all this nonsense. We didn't need to do any of that. We just needed a new president. Last month, we had the lowest number of border crossings in decades. And I can promise you this, that's going to continue. Because our president has always had the ability to stop this. And the only one of you that stood up to the previous administration was under investigation shortly thereafter. Weird how that happens. We're turning the page here. Going forward, each of you need to cooperate to the fullest extent of your ability with President Trump, with ICE, with all federal laws to make sure that you can secure your people and stop spending billions of taxpayer dollars on people that do not deserve it. Your constituents deserve those resources, not the people that enter this country illegally. With that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Chair recognizes Ms. Ansari from Arizona.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. President Trump has talked a big game about how he wants to allegedly make our cities and communities safer. He says he wants to get violent criminals off the streets, and he thinks that mass deportations are the way to do it. He sent ICE and Border Patrol agents after our Native American communities, parents and children, and law-abiding American citizens who are targeted simply because of the color of their skin or the language that they're speaking. The chaos and the fear that this has instilled pits neighbor against neighbor, creates more distrust in law enforcement, and puts us all in danger. Mayor Wu, first of all, congratulations on your baby. What have you been hearing from communities in Boston? Are people fearful of engaging with law enforcement?
In Boston, because our laws are what they are, we have very strong relationships with our community, and that's why we've been able to continue making progress on being the safest major city in the nation. But we do hear that people are afraid of the federal government, and it's including people who are immigrants, but also U.S. citizens. That fear is widespread.
Thank you. Perhaps most disturbing, President Trump has diverted critical Homeland Security investigation agents to work on immigration enforcement. That means they're no longer investigating violent crimes like human trafficking, child pornography, and the flow of fentanyl in our communities, putting our entire country at greater risk. That means fewer violent criminals, pedophiles, and drug runners being apprehended, not more. Once again, Republicans are making life easier for criminals at the expense of victims, actually making our communities less safe. Mr. Beer, question for you. What effect do you think that assigning DHS agents to deportations is going to have on public safety?
Well, it's an extremely negative effect, and it's not just limited to DHS. He's pulling in FBI, ATF, DEA. They're all being diverted off their primary missions to crack down on criminal gangs and criminal organizations in the United States. So it's not just DHS. It's every criminal agency in the United States government is being diverted to mass deportation right now.
The Phoenix police chief has stated, "We work with our federal partners all the time to work on criminal issues, not civil immigration issues." That will continue to be the stance of the Phoenix Police Department. I can tell you, during my time on the Phoenix City Council, I served on the Public Safety and Justice Subcommittee, I heard constantly from our police force that they are understaffed and need to focus their resources on violent crime. But President Trump has also tried to force municipalities to divert their law enforcement personnel to aid in mass deportations. Diverting city police to deportations would mean that our officers are spending less time investigating murders, rapes, and robberies. Now, I want to shift to the economy. Mayor Wu, would you agree that local leaders and public safety officials who hear directly from constituents about public safety know better what your city needs to focus on than the White House does? And also, are you worried about ICE raids and the impact that it will have for businesses and economic prosperity?
Yes, our local community knows best, and we can tell you in Boston, over our history, it has not been the word of presidents or kings or presidents who think they are kings that set what happens. It is our residents.
And Mr. Beer, can you tell us more on what the economic impacts like food prices and housing costs of mass deportations would be and how this could affect a city like Phoenix?
About half the cost of the fruits and vegetables on your in your grocery store is coming from the labor of immigrants and other workers at our farm. So it's an extremely important component of our agricultural production in the United States. If you look at where these people have gone, they have gone into the sectors where there is no work visa. There is no legal immigration option for employers to hire in these sectors. That is why we had so many people come, because of the labor needs of the United States.
Thank you so much. I truly want to thank the mayors for being here and taking on these ridiculous attacks on our local officials. You know what is best for your communities and the people that you represent. You know better than Donald Trump. You know better than Tom Homan. You know better than Stephen Miller. So thank you so much. And finally, I'd like to request unanimous consent to enter into the record. First, a report published by the American Immigration Council titled Mass Deportation, Devastating Cost to America, Its Budget, and the Economy. And second, a Center for American Progress report titled Trump's Rash Immigration Actions Place Cruelty and Spectacle Above Security.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. I yield back to the ranking member.
Chair recognizes Mr. Donalds from Florida.
Thank you, Chairman. This is my third term on the Oversight Committee. We've been talking about illegal immigration and oversight the entire time. I remember we had a group of this committee that went down to the El Paso section of the border. This was back in February, March of 2021. And during that time period, we were at one of the holding centers, and there were these buses that were coming to the detention facility, and they were picking up 30 kids, 50 kids at random, walking out of the facility. And when I went over to question the bus driver that was transporting these kids, border agents told me, as a member of Congress, that you're not allowed to question the bus driver. And of course, people knowing me, I didn't take no for an answer. And I repeated the question. And I was told that this bus of children was leaving El Paso and going to San Diego. And so what was occurring under the Biden administration is that they were busing unaccompanied minors all across the United States for one reason and one reason only. And that was because they did not want the press to see the pictures of kids in cages. They did not want to see our borders being overrun. They wanted to disperse that problem all through the United States. That is the reckless history of illegal immigration under Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. Mayor Johnston of Denver,
yes,
you lamented earlier that there were 10 to 11 buses coming per day to your city. Did you ever talk to Joe Biden about why this was happening to your community?
Thank you, Congressman. I both reached out to Governor Abbott from Texas. He didn't respond, and I did.
Why would you reach out to Governor Abbott of Texas when it is Joe Biden, the former commander-in-chief, that opened up our borders? Why didn't you talk to him?
Well, our buses directly were being sent from Governor Abbott in Texas, so that was why we reached out to say we're happy to collaborate on a coordinated entry system. We understand no one state or no one city should bear the entire brunt of this, but let's collaborate. But I did.
So I'm glad you said that, because that brings me to my next point. Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis, when they started moving illegal aliens out of their states who were bearing the brunt of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were doing, and they've sent them to Denver, they sent them to Chicago, they sent them to New York, they sent them to Martha's Vineyard. The reason why they did that is because you four could hide behind the realities of illegal immigration on border towns all through our country and on cities and states who did not want to see illegal immigration but did not have the political representation to go to the White House. And only when it showed up on your doorstep did you get upset. Mayor Johnston, coming back to you, how much did your city spend on illegal immigration? Do you have a round number?
Over the last couple of years, on all newcomers, whatever their status was, it's around $79 million since 2022.
$79 million. Mayor Johnson, Chicago. How much has the city of Chicago spent on illegal immigration?
If you're referring to the 2022 up to 2024 of the buses coming from Texas, roughly the same percentage of the state of Texas, about 1% of our overall budget.
What is that? Because I don't have the city's budget in front of me. Numbers.
It's 1%, and if you want the actual calculation, we can make sure someone...
You're the mayor. You don't have the math in front of you.
It's 1% of the overall budget over the last 4 years.
All right, that's why
you're
a failing mayor.
Which is
mayor
the same
Adams,
number that was sent from
us from the actually spend
state of
on
Texas.
Illegal immigration? Mayor Johnson, I already asked you. You don't have a hard number. And if you don't have a hard number, you're not running your city well. Mayor Adams, how much did the city of New York actually spend on illegal immigration?
$6.9 billion of taxpayers.
$6.9 billion of taxpayer money on a problem that was fostered on the American people. Mayor Wu, in the city of Boston, how much did you spend?
We don't ask about immigration status and delivering citizens.
You don't
citizens,
ask about
so
how much money the
number.
City of Boston has spent on illegal immigration.
We
are
don't
you out of your mind?
Between immigration status.
Do you manage your budget or not, Mayor Wu?
That is how we keep
Mayor
our city
Wu,
safe.
Mayor Wu, do you manage
we
your
have
budget
the
or not?
Numbers to prove it. I manage my budget. I have a AAA bond rating dating back 10 years.
So to the city of Boston, just understand that your mayor does not care how much of your resources she has spent on people who are not citizens
of the city
of Boston.
Sick of having people outside Boston
telling us what we need. Mr. Bear, I have a question for you, because I understand Cato's perspective when it comes to illegal immigration. I understand that the Cato Institute for a long time has had a standard of actually having open immigration into the United States. Generally speaking, I don't want to get into specifics.
We support legal immigration. We want immigration to
be
legal.
So let me ask you this question. Because one of the great libertarians of the modern era, Milton Friedman, famously said, you can either have open borders or a welfare state, but you have to choose. Mr. Beer, what do you choose?
Milton Friedman said he wanted to allow illegal immigration to continue. I disagree with Milton Friedman's position on that. We should have legal immigration and build a wall around the welfare state, not around the country. That's in the best interest of taxpayers.
And I would argue that under the current system where you have sanctuary cities popping up, it is not possible to build that wall. Mr. Beer, you're done. America has to choose between securing our nation or protecting the taxpayer. I choose secure the nation. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Chair recognizes Mr. Bell from Missouri.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the 80s, there was the war on drugs. That didn't go so well. We essentially created classes of criminals for people, citizens, who just needed help. And I won't recount that entire history. But I don't think that we realized the error of our ways until it impacted more affluent communities, particularly with the opioid epidemic. And so now Republicans have begun a new campaign, a war on immigrants. And while Republicans and Democrats both recognize the need to strengthen our borders, instead of sitting down and actually fixing the border situation, as has been alluded to, oh, actually, we did that, but then after supporting it, Republicans voted against it after their boss told them not to, which really would have been a win for the American people. So as a former prosecutor, I recognize policing and community relationships go hand in hand. You have to have them in order to be effective with law enforcement. And to get bad people off the streets who are not going to commit a crime in front of a police officer, oftentimes it's our people in our communities who can help get those people off the street by sharing and cooperating with law enforcement. But that starts with trust. And understanding, as a former prosecutor, limited resources. We have to be considerate of how we utilize those resources. And so my first question, Mr. Byron, I'm going to go quick because I want to try to get to y'all. Why will requiring a local police department to honor extrajudicial ICE detainers or risk losing federal funding make our cities less safe?
Well, you're taking resources away from whatever the higher priority is. So if you're talking about carrying out mass deportation and having state and local police detain people who are not public safety threats, then you're talking about in New York City, they're spending $1,500 a day on a bed. So that's $1,500 taken away from other public safety priorities.
And Mayor Wu, and congratulations again as well.
Thank you.
And first, you're welcome for St. Louis born and bred Jason Tatum. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why is it in Boston's best interest to make sure people who are experiencing domestic violence or are victims of violent crime feel comfortable coming forward to law enforcement with the knowledge that local police are not reporting them to ICE?
We need those who have information. We need those who are victims and survivors of crime to know that they can come forward and get the help that they need. And when that happens, we keep everyone safer.
Absolutely. And many law enforcement agencies have articulated that their primary responsibility is to keep communities safe by focusing on violent crime and public safety threats. However, deputizing requires officers to take on federal immigration duties, diverting resources and personnel from their core mission. So when cities use their discretion, and Mr. Byers, this is a quick question for you. Do you believe that this additional burden makes communities safer, or does it risk overextending local departments at the expense of addressing serious crimes?
I think states are best positioned to answer that question. It certainly can if you're imposing a mandate that is distracting from their public safety mission. And it's interesting to note that the majority's bill on this, H.R. 32, has an exception written in there for witnesses and victims of crimes. If you don't report them, it's okay under that bill. Except no one's walking around with a victim or witness badge on them. So when a police shows up and responds to a call, they don't know who's a witness or a victim. So the idea that, you know, you can just carding that off and put that to the side doesn't hold up.
I appreciate that. I'm just short on time. And Mayor Johnson, I have two quick questions for you, and you can give them the weight that you decide to give them. First, who has more world championships, the Cardinals or the Cubs? Mayor Adams, I don't want you in on that one. Can you tell us about the ways in which Chicago cooperates with federal law enforcement?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Violent crime in the city of Chicago is down. It continues to go down in my leadership because of our investments. Having trust between community and police, local police is attributed to that. And our local police department allies and cooperates with federal agents around human trafficking, drug trafficking, getting guns off the street, getting gangs off the streets of the city of Chicago, and it has worked. And the first black first lady in the history of Chicago is a Cardinals fan. Shout out to Hazelwood East.
Hey, that's my school. Thank you. I yield back to the ranking man.
And it's the Yankees.
No questions for you, Mr.
Chair, Chair now recognizes Ms. Luna from Florida.
Mayor Wu, does the Boston Trust Act restrict communication with federal immigration authorities regarding individuals' immigration status, yes or no?
We do not collect immigration status in law enforcement.
I'd just like to point out, and Mr. Chairman, if I could enter the Boston Trust Act into the record. Mr. Chairman.
Without objection.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. On page, or let's see, section 4AA, a law enforcement office, official and employment of the city department, agency, or commission shall not, and then A, inquire of an individual on his or her immigration status. Under Title 8, U.S. Code subsection 1373 stipulates that local governments cannot prohibit or restrict communication with federal immigration authorities regarding individuals' immigration status, so your enforcement of this act is in direct violation of that statute. Can you please confirm?
That is not
Thank
the
you,
truth.
Ma'am. That's the U.S. Code. I don't know about you, but U.S. Code does not lie.
We do not ask about
Mayor
immigration
Johnson,
status, and that is what
anymore.
Makes
Next
the state
question,
of the city.
Mayor Johnston, you said in your testimony that the first step you took after illegal aliens arrived was to provide them with housing. Is that correct, yes or no?
Folks that were on the streets freezing to death, we gave access to shelter. Yes, we did.
Thank you. Not to be rude here, but you have a good understanding of what the definition of harboring is, correct?
I do.
Okay. For those that might not, harboring means to knowingly or recklessly provide shelter or place to stay for an illegal alien. And according to Title 8 of U.S. Code subsection 1324, that is also a federal crime. Just to be clear, did you also say that you would be willing to go to jail to stop deportation efforts?
I did say that I'd be willing to stand up for all of our residents, and the context was that was the point at which the administration was threatening to deploy the U.S. military to streets of our cities to pull kids out of schools and churches,
Thank you.
We were worried about that.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record an article from CBS.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. In this, it says, Johnson said earlier this week that he's willing to use civil disobedience and, if necessary, going to jail to stop deportations. My final question would be for you, Mr. Mayor Johnson. Do you believe that Chicago's welcoming city ordinance encourages illegal aliens to enter the United States, specifically into Chicago, yes or no?
No.
Okay. So you don't believe that banning the transfer of individuals into ICE custody for the purpose of civil immigration enforcement encourages illegal immigration into Chicago? Or how about agencies, or agents not being able to stop, arrest, or detain individuals based solely on their immigration status or administrative warrant?
So we comply with all laws, local, state, and federal.
To me, after this line of questioning, it's very clear that these policies that you have all implicated are active and alive and well in your cities, are in direct violation with U.S. Title 8, Code Subsection 1324, and is a federal offense. But you all speak about a broken immigration system, and yet here you guys are aiding and abetting in that entire process. I want to be very clear about something. Open border policies, which is something that you guys are talking about, hurts people on both sides, meaning the people that are coming here illegally and then American citizens as well. I do not think you guys are bad people, but I think that you are ideologically misled, which is why, unfortunately, based on your responses, I'm all going to be criminally referring you to the Department of Justice for investigation. And as soon as I leave here, these will be going over to Pam Bondi. I'm not doing that in an effort to bully you guys, but I do believe that your policies are hurting the American people, and you can make that known with the evidence that you can present to the Department of Justice. But if you guys continue doing what you're doing, you're not going to help anyone. You're going to hurt more people, and that's exactly why I'm tired of it, the American people are tired of it, and Chairman, I yield my time.
Would you yield your last minute?
Yes, sir.
Mayor Adams, you were one of the first mayors in what the media refers to as a blue city, typically, that came out and raised concerns about the influx of illegals pouring into the city of New York. Could you answer the question, what that did to New York City from a budgetary standpoint? Let's not even talk about crime or anything. Let's just talk about from a budgetary, the burden on the citizens of New York City.
As I indicated, Mr. Chairman, we spent $6.9 billion, and the long-term impact of that is extremely significant. After COVID, we had a large number of children who was chronically absent. We could have taken $200 million of that and dealt with that. We have a real mental health crisis in our city. We could have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on that. And so the long-term impact of spending $6.9 billion is going to have serious ramification on the future of New York City. So it's more than just what happened last year or this year. It is what is going to impact us long-term.
And I think that's one of the purposes of this hearing, to talk about the consequences from cities that have huge illegal alien populations. So Chair now recognizes Ms. Presley from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor Wu, I am grateful for our longstanding partnership in public service. I'm grateful to be your congresswoman as well as your constituent. Can I get that time back? All right. Again, grateful for our longstanding partnership in public service, grateful to be your congresswoman, and grateful to be your constituent. It's clear my colleagues across the aisle didn't do their homework, because the fears and division they're trying to project onto Boston are really the stuff of Fox News fever dreams. Our city is vibrant. Our city is diverse. Our city is beautiful. Mayor Wu, immigration is central to the economic success of Boston, is it not?
Absolutely. All of our key industries, whether it's healthcare, life sciences, higher education, financial services, everything that we do depends on immigrant residents and the contributions that they make.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, immigration defines Boston. You know, for generations, our city has been shaped by people who have endured incredible hardships to arrive at our shores seeking a better life. They drove taxis, opened restaurants, studied at our schools, built homes, repaired our roads and bridges, cared for patients, cleaned offices, built businesses, provided essential early education and child care for our babies. There is no doubt immigration is essential to the success of Boston, but there is, in fact, a dark threat looming over this great city. That threat is the racist and xenophobic anti-immigrant policies coming from this Trump White House. Mr. Chair, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record this Boston Globe article titled, "They're Going to Deport Us. Trump's Immigration Policies Prompt Some Children to Skip School."
Without objection, so ordered.
Mayor Wu, I've been speaking to principals and educators in Boston at various roundtables and town halls that I've convened, and the stories are heartbreaking. Elementary school children are crying in their teachers' arms, fearful that they're going to lose their parents to cruel and unjust deportation raids. Mayor Wu, last week I met with an esteemed doctor from a local Boston hospital who reported that follow-up appointments in her clinic have seen a 200% spike in no-shows and cancellations. Her assessment, her patients are missing critical care like dialysis, prenatal care, and chemotherapy because of a fear of immigration raids in our hospitals and healthcare settings. Mayor Wu, do you agree with this healthcare provider?
Absolutely. We hear it from our shared constituents. People are afraid, and that is having huge impact on their daily lives when they're just trying to do right, be a good example for their kids as they pursue the American dream.
Mr. Chair, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record this article titled, "Fearful Amid ICE Crackdown, Some Immigrants Are Skipping Health Care."
Without objection, so ordered.
So here we have a man who thinks he is king, screaming anti-immigrant slurs from the Oval Office and what it has done to make Boston safer. Nothing, not a thing. But it has traumatized our kids, cost our elders their dialysis, delayed cancer patients' chemotherapy, and struck fear into the heart of hardworking people who not only contribute immensely to our city and our community, but whose labor and contributions are also essential to the very functions of daily life in our great city. The members of this committee would be well served by learning from our esteemed mayor, but a teach-in is not the charge of this committee. Remind my colleagues, this committee's purpose is oversight. The only person who has something to answer for is Donald Trump. He is single-handedly decimating decades of economic progress, vilifying our immigrant neighbors, and disregarding the Constitution and basic decency daily. This man points to our most vulnerable, scapegoats them for every hardship, while he himself is actually the source of the hardship that the American people are experiencing. My colleagues don't really care about criminality. If you really cared about criminality, you would do something about Elon Musk's power grab, stealing our data.
you would do something about efforts to defund the National Institutes of Health cancer research. If you really cared about criminality, you would do something about people that want to rob our babies of food. Make it make sense. My Republican colleagues across the aisle believe a six-year-old from El Salvador who wants to go to school and a mom who fled violence in Haiti are the reason that the cost of eggs are too damn high. And your housing and gas will follow suit shortly because of these Donald Trump tariffs. The shameful Republican ripoff slashing away basic government services to line the pockets of Donald Trump's buddies so they can buy toy yachts and rocket ships. It is a shame and a sham. America has a problem, and it is Donald Trump. And if my colleagues really cared about criminality, they would do something about him. I'm grateful the people of Boston and my mayor stand with their neighbors from every walk of life. I yield back.
Chair recognized Mr. Gill from Texas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for holding this hearing on such an important topic. Mayor Johnson, I want to start with you. One of your first actions as mayor was establishing a deputy mayor for immigrant, migrant, and refugee rights. I want to ask you a series of questions. If you could answer with a yes or no answer, that'd be great. First of all, do you support allowing illegal aliens to obtain driver's licenses? Just yes or no.
So the city of Chicago has been a welcoming city for over 40 years.
I'll take that as a yes. Next question.
And that's the policy that we will hold to.
Do you support tax dollars subsidizing or paying for the health care of illegal aliens?
I support investments in all residents of the people of Chicago, and that's what I do.
That's a yes as well. Do you support free or reduced college for illegal aliens?
Again, I support the investments of all residents of the people of Chicago.
Take that as a yes. Next question. Do you support allowing non-citizens to vote in local elections?
Again, I'm not over the jurisdiction of that type of law, but again, I'm committed to investing in all residents of the people of Chicago.
I'll take that as a yes. I've got an article from the Chicago Sun-Times, and I'll quote here briefly. Johnson proposed, among other things, that all residents, regardless of citizenship status, be able to vote for Chicago Board of Education members. Next question. Your website states, and this is your campaign website, quote, "I will not stop fighting until abortion access is completely secure for people all over the country," end quote. Yes or no, do you support taxpayer-funded abortions for illegal aliens?
I support the reproductive rights of all people, all women.
That is a yes as well. Your mayoral transition website mentioned support for creating a Chicago Board of Education non-citizen advisory board. Again, yes or no, do you support appointing non-citizens to government advisory boards?
I was invited here today to discuss welcoming cities.
Yes or no?
I was invited here to discuss welcoming cities.
This is a yes or no.
If you're interested in asking me questions about the welcoming city, I'm happy to answer those questions.
No, we're going to move on. As you know, President Trump, unlike the previous administration, has taken serious action to bring foreign criminal gangs to justice, to take our border back and to restore public safety in our communities. He designated 8 transnational criminal organizations and cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. These are groups like Tren de Aragua, MS-13, Sinaloa, other of some of the most grotesque and ruthless and brutal organizations in the world. You, as mayor of a sanctuary city, have been virtually giving favors to illegal aliens. Apparently, you support an enormous amount of taxpayer resources going to them as well. But you yourself have also received a lot of gifts. And for those of you who don't know, Mayor Johnson has a secret gift room that is not given access to the public or for access to the Office of Inspector General. I'd like to ask you a couple questions about that. Do you know everyone who's given you a gift since you became mayor?
The city of Chicago has had a policy for 40 years.
Yes or no question.
Where there are individuals that
I'm reclaiming my time. I'm going to take that.
And
no.
We do not accept those
when
gifts.
Did you become
we receive
mayor?
Them on
no,
behalf
I'm gonna reclaim my
of
time
the city
here.
Of Chicago.
You're not going to filibuster here. When did you become mayor?
I was elected mayor of the city of Chicago in May In April of 2023, and I was sworn in May 15th on June 12th, 2023.
On June 12th, 2023, you received Hugo Boss cufflinks and a personalized Montblanc pin. Do you know who gave you those?
So I did not receive those personally. The city of Chicago
received those on behalf,
and that's right, on behalf of the city of Chicago. As every mayor in the history of Chicago who has
provided gifts to the city of Chicago. Do you know who gave those to the city of Chicago?
So again, on behalf of the city of Chicago, there
it's
are
a yes or no question. Received, do
but
you?
I do not
do
accept you, those are not my personal
so
gifts.
You don't know.
Those are the gifts of the city
on
of Chicago,
March 18th,
and that's why you are aware that they exist because they are within the law.
Play my time here, sir. On March 18th, 2024, you received a Gucci tote bag. Do you know who gave you that? Gave the city of Chicago that?
Ken, I was here and I was invited.
I'll also
to
take
respond
that as no.
to the
on
questions
March 19th,
around welcoming city.
City.
I'm happy to answer
Chicago
any of those questions.
A Gucci bag, a Kate Spade purse, and Carucci shoes. Do you know who gave the city of Chicago those?
Again, I was brought.
I'll take that as a no. I'm reclaiming my time
to respond
here, sir. I
on
am
behalf
reclaiming
of the city
my
of Chicago
of
what a welcoming
serious
city
serious ethical
is.
Concerns. You're providing an enormous amount of aid to illegal aliens, aiding and abetting criminals who have come into our country illegally. And you yourself are receiving an enormous amount of gifts, and you won't even tell us who they're coming
Mr.
from. That
Chairman, time is up.
Serious ethical
we have
concern.
A five-minute rule.
Gentlemen,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask for unanimous consent to enter into the record the City of Chicago Office of Inspector General advisory concerning gifts accepted on behalf of the city.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you.
Chair now recognizes Ms. Tlaib for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor Adams, since we're on this conversation around oversight and some misclaims here about corruption. I mean, do you agree, Mr. Mayor Adams?
Yes, I hear you. I hear you, Congressman.
Oh, okay. You weren't looking at me. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I'll speak louder if you want. Do you agree to a quid pro quo deal to enforce the Trump administration's cruel immigration policy in exchange for protection from the federal corruption charges against you? And you are under oath, just as a reminder.
Congresswoman, there was no agreement. There was no quid pro quo, and I've done nothing.
Yeah.
So
help me out here, though. So the Trump official, Tom Homan, we all know who he is. He said, quote, I'm quoting him, if he doesn't come through, I'll be in his office up his butt. Sorry, Chairman. Saying where the hell is the agreement we came to? End of quote. You're accusing the Trump administration for lying? Did they lie? What agreement did they're lying then?
Mr. Homeland and I both agree we would fight dangerous criminals, and we've never had any conversation about my case.
Okay. So, Mayor Johnson and Johnson, Johnson and Wu, I'm sorry, I can't get that.
You can just call it Chicago and Denver.
There you go. This is really important, you know, as a child of immigrants, and I think many of my colleagues on that side of the aisle have beautiful, diverse communities as well. And one of the things that I know happens when we try to have local law enforcement and local city officials, I mean, they even want treasury, folks that work for our city treasury, asking people for immigration status. That's what they would prefer.
See if he's ready.
You know, is that racial profiling what do you do? Like, you wait for somebody to come, they have an accent, maybe they wear hijab, maybe they look a certain way. That's what they want you to do. That's what they're asking you to do, by the way. They want you all to basically do the job of what the federal government should be doing in regards to passing really comprehensive immigration reform so families are not separated, because right now they're just, all they want to do is continue talking about enforcement. Guess what? The last 20 years it didn't work, did it? It isn't working. So one by one, if you can talk about that, because I know my mother, who's been here for over 50 years, is carrying her passport, her U.S. passport, for the first time in her life. And she ain't traveling nowhere out of the country. But she's carrying it because she knows her beautiful accent. It's beautiful. I love it. And just so fearful of being stopped and being asked her immigration status. She knows she'll be racially profiled. And she already feels unsafe in a community she lived in for over 50 years.
Thank you, Congresswoman. I would just agree. We don't think it's relevant to know someone's status when they come into a public library to check out a book, or if they come to the hospital for service, or if they come to register their child for school. The Constitution says you're entitled to an education. Our job is to provide it. So we think that's unnecessary, and it just scares people away.
Yeah, Mayor.
Yeah, allowing local law enforcement in the city of Chicago to focus on city priorities, as well as making sure that there's trust between our immigrant communities and all of our communities.
Yeah, I've worked on domestic violence cases as a former immigration attorney.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, this is deadly for women being abused. Deadly.
It certainly engenders trust, and that's how we have driven crime down in the city of Chicago, because of that trust.
Mayor.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Boston is proud to be the safest major city in the country, and we do not ask about immigration status when providing city services. We also are clear to all our residents that we do not care about immigration status when we hold people accountable for doing harm in the community as well.
Yeah, because when I hear sanctuary city, I hear anti-racial profiling. I really do. I hear like, okay, we're not here in the business of trying to enforce broken immigration laws that are inhumane, completely immoral right now. That's what I hear. And I, as a former immigration attorney, when I hear the story in Denver, and trust me, ICE is there waiting to pick them up. They sent six of them, and they couldn't handle six of them couldn't take this guy that they're supposed to pick up. Doesn't make any sense to me, because they're there. They're pretending they don't know that as a fact. But one of the things that bothers me about all of this is the executive order of rescinding the sensitive locations. Why this is important. They basically want to do immigration enforcement and racial profiling and immigration enforcement that's race-based, because look at, I'm at the Canadian border in Detroit. Do you know the majority of people coming on undocumented is Canadian? But guess what? It's still the brown folks that are overwhelming. ACLU did a study, is overwhelming the ones being targeted, detained, and deported. And so for me, the sensitive location, this is hospitals, schools, you know, this is like funerals. This was all a policy in place to protect us from having our communities over police and militarized. Can you talk about the impact of that? And I have 22 more seconds because
no,
he went over.
Time,
he went over 22
he was,
more
he spoke
seconds.
Over him.
He
went, that was not
no, he didn't.
True.
No, I didn't. But, Chairman, I never went so spoke but, over him.
No, not you. The mayor spoke over Brandon.
Oh, well, I didn't. It doesn't matter. He went over 22 seconds.
But go ahead and ask your question.
I just want them to answer the question about the sensitive locations, because this is something we all should be scared of, because pastors are calling me because they're talking about churches being possibly having ICE agents show up at churches.
I can just say, Congresswoman, our fastest growing church in Denver went from 700 folks in the parishion to five after that announcement.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Chair recognizes Mr. Fallon from Texas.
All right. 43 seconds. That's a deal. All right. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Coming into this very important hearing, I suspected that Democrats would claim illegal immigrants pose no danger and would frame them as a sympathetic victim class, completely glaze over the tremendous financial burden that mass unlawful migration places on the shoulders of the American taxpayers. And furthermore, they would completely ignore the grave dangers that violent criminal illegals pose to all Americans. It would be, Democrats would use spin and deflection and woke wonderment and delusion, and some would even blatantly lie. And as they so often do, the left did not disappoint. The first claim that we heard was they were ICE agents ripping adorable children off adorable school buses. It was a myth, and it never happened. And what was the source of this Democratic claim? One letter written by one superintendent in a country of 13,000 school districts. And that letter said that this may happen. Well, I may start a business with flying monkeys delivering you fruit salads. I may. But it never happened. And the case in point, it was Alice ISD. And, Mr. Chairman, there was another letter that Alice ISD sent, and I'm going to quote it. It said, "We have not had any Customs or Border Patrol enter or board buses, nor do we have any knowledge of it happening here or in any other school district." It was a spin, it was deflection, and it was a lie. Now, the most important thing that any elected official should focus on is to keep our citizens safe. There's no greater calling. Mayor Johnson, is Chicago a safe city?
We are a safer city since I've been in office. Crime
safer
is down.
City. Okay, sir.
Crime is down
sir, do you
over
know
20%.
That, sir, no, you're not
going to
overtalk. Mr. Chairman, I reclaim my time. You're not going to overtalk me. Brandon's, he was very nice, and he's a freshman. Not going to do that. In 2022, I find it interesting that you say Chicago's safe. You have a higher murder rate than Haiti. And the Biden administration put up a travel advisory saying to Americans, don't go to Haiti. I hope that the Trump administration puts up a travel advisory saying, don't go to Chicago. In fact, the Haiti has a murder rate of 18.02%. Chicago has a murder rate of 18.26%. I can see why, sir, you have a 14% approval rating. Mayor Wu, you're a Democrat, yes?
Yes.
Okay. You supported the Biden-Harris administration politically?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Do you think that they took border security seriously?
I think Washington failed on immigration and continues to do so.
So let me ask that again. Did you think the Biden administration took border security seriously?
I think Washington failed.
Yes or no? It's not a trick question, Mayor.
I think there's responsibility across this entire...
Come on, we can eke it out of you. Yes or no? Did Biden administration, did Biden-Harris do a good job? You were supporting Kamala Harris, so apparently you must have thought she was okay on it.
Washington.
Okay, so you're not going to answer. Well, here's the thing. We can deal with delusion. No, Mayor, I'm going to reclaim my time. We can deal with delusion or we can deal with data. So let's talk about some data. I find this interesting. Under the 12 years that Barack Obama and Donald Trump were president, there were 460,000 illegal encounters annually on average. Under Joe Biden, it was 2,641,000. It was 600% worse. Mayor Wu, you would agree with me, I hope, on this. Vladimir Putin's a bad hombre, and he rules over an authoritarian regime, yeah?
Yes.
Bipartisan agreement. Wonderful. There were, under President Trump's first administration, 98 Russian nationals that were apprehended on the southern border entering the country illegally. Under Joe Biden, it was 127,415, 130,000% worse. Terror watch list went from 11 under President Trump to 382. That might be one of them calling right now. February of 2024, 190,000 illegal immigrants were apprehended. This past month was only 8,000, a 96% reduction. Now, the common theme that we heard from a lot of oversight Democrats is a bold-faced lie that illegal immigrants, immigrants, are less likely to commit crimes. What they're doing is they're fusing legal immigrants with illegal. When you bifurcate, when you separate them, yes, legal immigrants are less likely to commit crimes, but illegal immigrants are more likely to. Non-U.S. citizens account for 7% of the U.S. population, yet account for 15% of the federal arrests and prosecutions, according to the Justice Department. The Federation for American Immigration Reform found that if you were an illegal immigrant, you were 2 times more likely to be incarcerated in California and New York, and 5 times more likely in Arizona. And in June of, in my home state, in June of 2011 to June of 2024, or January 2024, Mr. Chairman, there were 428,000 criminal aliens booked in Texas jails. 299,000 of them were illegal immigrants charged with murder, rape, sexual assault, kidnapping, assault at L, 187,000 convictions. So it is an outrageous claim,
Mr.
to
Chairman,
say that when we secure the border,
no, expired.
Chairman, no, 42 seconds left.
No, you don't.
No. I got 20. Yes, I do, because she went over 42 seconds. Spare me.
Mr. Chairman,
I got 20 seconds left, and I'll wrap
up. He's wrapping his question up, but he's doing
it. It's an outrageous claim to say that securing the border and enforcing our immigration laws does not make Americans safer, because it does. And if you don't agree with that, I would encourage you to talk to Lake and Riley's family or Jocelyn Nerngray's family. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentlemen, thank you. Chair recognizes Ms. Stansberry from New Mexico.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I always think that we should sage this room after these hearings, because we hear a lot of crazy stuff in here. But let me start out by saying, mayors, welcome to our committee. Thank you for serving your cities and your people. I have to say, as an elected official, you have the hardest job in America. There is no job harder than being a mayor of a major city. So thank you for serving your constituents. And I want to take this opportunity to especially acknowledge Mayor Wu, because not only are you the first woman to ever serve the city of Boston, if you all haven't been watching, she is also the mother of a newborn who is here with her. She has a 7-week-year-old baby, and she showed up to testify and be yelled at by our colleagues for 4 hours. So I say to you, Mayor Wu, may your daughter grow up to be a fierce leader like you.
Thank you.
Now, I want to reject the fundamental premise of this hearing, because what this entire effort is about is intimidating state and local officials, attacking law-abiding immigrant families, and spending millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars both in the administration and in Congress to make ads that are complete smoke and mirrors trying to say that Donald Trump has somehow secured America's safety. What they are doing is not making America safer. In fact, it's a total and complete lie, because Donald Trump has failed to actually even secure the border. He's failed to stop illicit drugs like fentanyl from crossing the border. He's failed to secure sufficient staffing and technology to stop human trafficking and illicit drugs from crossing the border. He's failed to support local law enforcement and behavioral health programs to address the issues that are affecting our communities. And he's failed to even execute on the most basic thing that he said he would do, which was to pass immigration reform when he got into office. Here we are, Donald Trump. Where's your immigration bill? Oh, wait, you don't have one. That's right. Because none of this is actually about making America safer. In fact, all of this is making America weaker. He's dismantling our federal law enforcement that would actually go after cartels and drug traffickers. Over the last 6 weeks, Donald Trump has taken out the most senior FBI officials and the officials in our U.S. attorney's offices that were actually prosecuting the cases against the drug cartels. Donald Trump took out the law enforcement that were prosecuting those cases. So let's be real about that. He froze federal law enforcement funds all across the country. I have tribes in my district that still haven't had their DOJ grants reinstated. Let's be real about what's going on here. He's frozen funds to refugee resettlement and other immigrants groups permanently who have outstanding receipts. There are refugees and asylees that had waited decades to get to this country from war-torn parts of the world, and they literally had their flights canceled the last 2 weeks, while Donald Trump is sitting in the Oval Office and offering millionaire oligarchs a free ride into America with his gold visa program. Is this really about making America safe again? Is that really what he's about? Is that really what my colleagues across the aisle are about? Because what I can tell you, as a representative from a great city, the city of Albuquerque, a border state, is that we know what makes our communities safer. It means we stop drugs from coming into our country and our communities. It means that we support and we fund our law enforcement. It means that we fund our behavioral health system. It means that we support our mayors, our tribal leaders, and our state officials. It means that we invest in them. It does not mean that we drag them in front of Congress for 4 hours. We yell at them. We tell them we're going to give them criminal referrals. The DOJ is intimidating our mayors, and my colleagues across the aisle are producing TV ads to try to pretend that they're making this country safe again. It's total bullshit. Absolute bullshit. They are not making America safer again, and what they are doing is terrorizing immigrant families. That is what they are doing. Parents who are afraid to send their kids to school. Parents who are afraid that they won't come home again. Kids who are afraid to leave their houses. Refugees who have waited for years to come into this country. And our mayors are sitting here enduring this ridiculous hearing as they've been threatened in front of the American people. And so I will say, in the words of my sister in the front row, who brought forward the words of one of our faith leaders just a few days ago on the House floor, I hope that my colleagues across the aisle, who I can tell, most of whom come from immigrant stock, will have the same mercy that our ancestors had shown to them by this country so that you could sit here and be a congressperson.
Gentlelady's time's expired.
Mr. Jarrett asked unanimous consent.
Ms. Crockett.
From The Economist, how Boston became the safest big city in America. Murder is declining across the country, but Boston has led the way. And then I have one more UC request. It is from insightcrime.org. Gang violence in Haiti continued to surge in 2024, following a trend that began after the assassination of President in 2021. The country reported a record number of homicides in 2024, with over 7,000 murders, for a rate of 62%, up from 40.9%. 5% in 2023.
Without objection, so ordered. At the request of the witnesses, we're going to do one more questioner. It'll be Mr. Sessions from Texas. Then the committee will take a 15-minute break. Last questioner before the break, at the request of the witnesses, will be Mr. Sessions from Texas.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much to the panelists. Thank you for taking time to be here. I hasten to say that I'm probably not going to yell at you. I will not live up to the things that we've been accused of today, but I will say that I want to defend some actions that are being taken. I remember a few years ago when Boston had two illegal aliens who were they were known as criminal aliens, but they were known as on the watch list. They created a bomb that went off at the Boston Marathon. Only killed a couple people, but caused huge disruption. And it brought to light that the administration at the time and prior administration had allowed people who were on watch lists that we understood, a terrorism, criminal, and we were allowing them in the country. We watched forward as we moved about the rule of law being ignored. United States of America allows 1 million people to go through our process, the largest amount of anywhere in the world, 1 million people, and they go through a process, and I spoke at one of these ceremonies, naturalization ceremonies last May. And I spoke to the people that were there. And they all unequivocally stated, thank you to the United States of America, but they learned what they were entering, what they were expected to do, that their customs from where they came from, some could be kept, but the things which did not correspond to American law now needed to be followed, that they were going to become American citizens, not where they came from, but they wanted to be Americans. And they had to follow those rules and regulations or laws. That we were very open to them being here and that they could legally perform the duties that they wanted. What has caused this mismatch is more than just the Boston bomber or people being killed, but rather the public interests in looking at what the charade that it caused all across this country, in particular in larger cities. Chicago, yes. New York City, yes. Other cities around the United States where people felt not only threatened, but it was activity that was seen as unbecoming to people who should be where they were and giving respect and thanks to a group of people who were allowing them to be here, i.e. a city that was not going to arrest them. But you see, what we really understood is if you were here illegally, they weren't going to arrest you even for a crime. They might have arrested someone who was a citizen and put them behind bars, but unless they really created a heinous circumstance, they were not going to be arrested. And so this created an aura around the United States that the American people understood. And that is one of the reasons why you saw the American people not only vote with their hands, but vote with their emotions about the need to bring back not just law and order, not just rule of law, but the ability that we had as an American people to rethink the entire issue. And I do understand you think that this is all broken in Washington, D.C., because you disagree with it. But what we've been allowing is the next president, whether it be Barack Obama, whether it be George W. Bush, whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be Joe Biden, to insist upon their own way instead of the law. The laws have been misguided, they've been misused, and they are taken advantage of. I think what we're trying to do today is to hear from you, not as we're accused, but rather thoughtful people, to hear you talk about your cities, the things which you encounter, and the things which you think are right. And by and large, and I've been in and out of this committee today, but we by and large heard it's more safe. It's not less safe. It's more safe because of what we do. And yet it comes at a cost and a price, and it creates circumstances. So I want to thank you for being here. I want you to remember that not everybody yelled and screamed at you. Some people actually showed up to listen, and that is what I did today. I want to thank each of you, because your modeling that you have been doing is something that we do need to pay attention to. Mr. Chairman, I yield back my time.
Very good. The committee will take a 20-minute break. Pursuant to the previous order, the chair declares the committee in recess for 20 minutes.